Morning.
Morning, sir.
We have one item of old business this morning. It is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 25, Subsection 115-179B of the Code of Sussex County, and is entitled Height Regulations in Regard to the Height of Certain Buildings. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on November 14, 2013 on this ordinance amendment. County Council held their public hearing on November 19th of 2013. And the commission made a recommendation of approval of the ordinance on December 12 of 2013. And before you in your packet, it was received on Friday. You have a copy of approximately 4.5 pages. That is a report from the Planning and Zoning Commission and their recommendation. So you want me to go right to the recommendation?
Please do, sir.
Mm-hmm. The commission, there was a substantial amount of discussion between the commission members on December 12th. The final recommendation was Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend in favor of the adoption of the ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 25, Subsection 115-179B of the Code of Sussex County entitled Height Regulations in Regard to the Height of Certain Buildings. The ordinance amendment states that only governmental buildings, schools, hospitals, and institutions can be constructed to a height of 60 feet if the use is permitted in the underlying zoning district. However, in making this recommendation, it is also his recommendation that the Sussex County Council schedule a workshop as soon as possible to have a more comprehensive discussion of height regulations in the county to determine if there are appropriate locations for taller structures and how taller structures may relate to existing and future infrastructure needs such as traffic, sewer, water, parking, open space, and other issues. And that the Board of Adjustment and the County Engineering Department should be included in the workshop. Mr. Johnson made a motion, and seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried with 3 votes to 2 votes to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved, and that motion carried 3-2. By roll call, Mr. Burton, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Smith voted yea, Mr. Ross and Mr. Wheatley voted nay on the ordinance amendment. The technical change in the ordinance. The ordinance presently states in 115-179B, and I quote, except within an area defined as an airport approach zone by the Federal Aviation Administration, public and semi-public or public service buildings, hospitals, institutions, or schools, when permitted in a district, may be erected to a height not exceeding 60 feet. And churches and temples may be erected to a height not exceeding 75 feet when the required side and rear setbacks are each increased by at least 1 foot for each 1 foot of additional building height above the height regulation for the district in which the building is located. The proposed amendment would read, except within an area defined as an airport approach zone by the Federal Aviation Administration, buildings owned by a political subdivision of the state of Delaware, the federal government, or any agency thereof, hospitals, institutions, or schools, when permitted in a district, may be erected to a height not exceeding 60 feet, and schools and temples may be erected to a height not exceeding 75 feet when the required side and rear yards are each increased by at least 1 foot for each 1 foot of additional building height above the height regulation for the district in which the building is located. And what I just did was read the way it's written and the way it's proposed to be read. In the text of the ordinance, you will see that we placed in parenthesis public and semi-public or public service buildings. That is the meaning for deletion. And underline buildings owned by a political subdivision of the state of Delaware, the federal government, or any agency thereof. Underline meaning is being added. Mm-hmm. So the way I read it the second time is that intent of the ordinance as proposed and recommended by the commission.
Questions of Mr. Lank?
Well, we're talking about this could all be adjusted with a application to Board of Adjustment, can it not?
Yes, ma'am.
So I mean, it's not carved in stone.
because it is a number, that number can be appealed to the Board of Adjustment for a variance. They could, a person could apply for, say, a 45-foot height and a 40, where 42 is the maximum, and they would go before the board and have to show case by case why their application is appropriate.
Right.
And give the five or six questions of response, or responses to the questions that relate to uniqueness, being created by the applicant, et cetera.
And there are already in this county buildings that exceed the height that were granted a variance by Board of Adjustment?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hotels.
Any more questions, the council?
No, it just, if I understand it correctly, it just, it puts the control into the hands of the planners here at the county, if I understand correctly. And, you know, I have nothing more to say about it.
Well, the one thing about the ordinance, the way it's written, it's been there since 1971.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that just sort of popped up. It just wasn't utilized. It wasn't promoted.
Mm-hmm.
If someone asked, we would have to answer them, but we didn't. We didn't promote it,
right,
basically.
Anything else from council? If someone would read the short title.
Yes, an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Article 25, Section 115-179B of the Code of Sussex County, entitled Height Regulations in Regard to the Height of Certain Buildings.
Pleasure, council.
Make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any questions on this motion?
I understand that's only for the suburban area, right? No towns.
So it doesn't bother towns at all.
Our ordinance has no, our zoning ordinance has no relationship to any of the towns. There's 25 towns that have their own zoning control.
That's what I understand. In other words, there's 21 towns can do as they please.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
But we understand the suburban area control it.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions, council? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes, and along with the recommendation from our Planning and Zoning Commission.
Cole.
I'll vote yes, because the based on the recommendations, and I think there is just confusion over this, and this will, I think, put it back historically how the council has, and the planning zoning, and most of the staff has, you know, responded to height limits in this county. So I think it codifies it and makes it much clearer, because if the wording was poor in the past, we've done a better job this time around. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning with their findings, and I'm not so sure that it was ever the intent of the people that wrote this thing that it would exceed 42 feet. been there a long time. But I do agree with planning and zoning, and whoever does want to build higher than 42 feet
mm-hmm.
certainly has the ability to go to Board of Adjustment and ask for a variance.
Exactly right.
So it takes nobody's rights away. So
mm-hmm.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. Thank you, everybody.
Mrs. Jennings, grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first one is the American Legion Auxiliary Unit 28. They are requesting support for their Poppy Fund. Funds that they receive go directly to assist local hospitalized and disabled veterans and their families in need. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $200, which is $100 from Mr. Cole and $100 from Mr. Phillips.
Do that again. Mr. Cole, you
want to
do that again?
I'll be glad to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Make
I'll
that
second
again.
It.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $200. Is that correct, sir?
That buys
with $100 from Mr. Cole's account, $100 from Mr. Cole's account.
That buys a lot of poppies.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next one is the Boy Scouts of America Delmarva Council. They're requesting $2,000 for their summer camp. Last grant received was $2,000, which was $400 each. Since this request is not for a specific troop and youth all around the county can attend, this would qualify for a countywide youth grant.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah,
motion.
I second that.
Mr. Cole,
that
second,
motion.
Mrs. Deaver, to grant $2,000 for the Delmarva Council Boy Scout summer camp expenses funded from the countywide
right
youth grant.
There's a couple
fund.
Scouts smiling.
Yeah, there you go.
Any questions on the motion?
Mm-mm.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. The next one's also for Boy Scouts of America Delmarva Council Troop 182. They are requesting support for an Eagle Scout project that would protect and preserve the Mason-Dixon line crown-stoned tangent marker located in Seaford. They would like $539.22 to help for the fencing materials. There have been no past grants.
Someone want to make a motion to grant that amount of money from my account?
I'll make that.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson? I vote yes, motion carried.
Where is that marker?
Out, it is northwest of Reliance.
Up, okay, out there by Patty
yep.
Cannon?
North, a little bit northeast of there. And
okay.
Up, yeah.
Make sure it's the 22 cents is involved, too.
Yeah, got 22 cents, yeah. Mrs. Jennings?
The Milton Chamber of Commerce is requesting support for the 11th annual Horseshoe Crab Shorebird Festival. Mm-hmm. The event attracts visitors and family as well as nature lovers to learn more about the many treasures of our region. Sponsorship levels range from $50 to $1,500, and there have been no past grants.
We haven't done that in the past?
Nope. First one.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm willing to donate $250 to it from my account.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $250 from Mrs. Deaver's Councilmatic account to the Milton Chamber of Commerce to help sponsor the annual Horseshoe Crab and Shorebird Festival. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Okay. Next one's First State Community Action Agency. They're requesting support for their first annual miniature golf tournament. Sponsorship levels range from $100 to $250 or $2,500. Last grant received was $1,000, which was $500 from Ms. Deaver and $500 from Mr. Cole.
For the same event?
No. This is the first time they're having this event.
This is
new.
This mm-hmm. is new.
Well, how about $100 each?
I'll go for that.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to yes. grant $100 from each councilmatic account. Would be a $500 total. The First Day Community Action Agency to help sponsor their annual miniature golf tournament. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Next one is the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors of Delaware. They're requesting sponsorship for their annual career conference in Dewey Beach. This is the first time in over 40 years that this conference will be held in Dewey Beach. Sponsorship levels range from $500 to $1,800. There have been no past grants.
And is time of the essence with that? I just have some questions about it. And I really haven't had time to look into it.
I don't know if it's time to hold on. Yeah. The conference is May 15th.
Oh,
so
pretty close. Mm-hmm. Why don't we? Is it first time? And why don't we make $250 contribution?
Yeah, I think I should make it
and
clear that I did have some folks did object to that.
So your motion is to grant $250 from?
I'll give him $250. Okay. It's in Dewey Beach. It'll have an economic impact on the area. There could be a lot of insurance guys there, and I'm sure they'll be in the bottle and cork and the rusty rudder. And Hard to tell where they'll be.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Yes. Mr. Wilson, to grant $250, Mr. Cole's council bank account for the NAIFA Delaware
Even K
Annual Possa. Career Conference in Dewey Beach. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Next one's the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. They're requesting support for the annual golf tournament that benefits Alzheimer's research. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $200, which was $100 from Mr. Cole and $100 from Ms. Deaver.
Oh, the two of us are going to donate to Alzheimer's? Okay. Yeah. All right.
What'd you say?
I forgot. I don't know. Just the two of us.
I forgot.
My memory is bad.
No motion.
Sound like you got half armor.
Well, I don't have one yet. You want to make a motion, Mr. Cole? Repeat?
Yeah, we'll just do the same thing. That'd be
okay.
Fine.
Motion, Mr. Second. Cole, second, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Deaver, to grant the NARFE $200, be $100 Mrs. Deaver's account, $100 Mr. Cole's account to help sponsor the annual golf tournament for Alzheimer's research. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. The last one is the American Legion Post 8, Station 93. They're requesting funds to purchase ballistic vests for their crews. The cost of the vest is $8,000. There have been no past individual council grants, and this was put on the agenda by Mr. Wilson.
Wow. He's forgotten about it.
I'll make a motion. We give them $200 a piece.
But be quiet.
Mr. Wilson has a motion to grant $200 from each council bank account.
Failed due to lack of
to the Georgetown Ambulance.
I thought it was the American American Legion.
No. Well, it, but American Legion is who runs the ambulance service in Georgetown, but it's for their ambulance.
Never mind. I'll just get it out.
Thank you. I'll second that.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,000 to American Legion Post 8 for operating expenses for Georgetown American Legion to help buy vests
with all his
EMTs. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mrs. Jennings.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Additional business brought before council. Mr. Guy. Okay. Lou Rixham. R-I-X-H-A-M. If I pronounce that wrong, I apologize. Come on down, sir, to the podium. Please state your name and address, and you got about 3 minutes.
All right, I'll have to be very brief. Thank you, Council, for hearing me. My name is Lou Rixham. I'm here representing 24 homeowners at Mallard Lakes who were flooded out in Superstorm Sandy. I have some backup with me. My wife, Susan, council members, Fran Lazzaro and Dan Nelson, Patty Nowicki, and several homeowners also. My purpose for being here is to appeal or request an exemption or an exception to the previous ruling, which limits national flood mitigation grants to 50% of the cost, as opposed to the 75%, which would otherwise be available. At the 50% level, we could be subject to some very dire financial situations and possibly lose our homes. I'll tell you why. In Superstorm Sandy, we were flooded out. Six buildings of approximately 80 that we have there got about a foot and a half of water in them. We're in flood zone. We have flood insurance. We applied for it. Restored our buildings, and as a result of that, we're now advised that we're in violation of county zoning and building code and NFIP regulations because we're now below the base flood elevation. While we were being must elevate our homes or face possible eviction. Now, nobody's threatening to do that, and I understand it's never been done, so we're hoping that don't happen, but we've got to elevate our buildings. We applied for a flood mitigation grant last year, and we were led to believe we were the front runners for that loan, and we were ultimately denied the grant. We didn't get it, and although it wasn't the official reason stated, we did get information that there was thinking that the people in Mallard Lakes wouldn't be able to come up with the 50% of the cost. Now, that's probably true. And I'll try to explain why the 50% doesn't work for us. You know, we're not the millionaires that live on the beach that can probably afford the 50%, although I'm sure they say they can't either. We're low-cost housing. There are people living there on Social Security, public assistance, and that sort of thing. When we were applying for the grant, we submitted an estimate for the cost of having the buildings elevated. We got a contractor to do that. And with the 75% thinking, plus additional money for the additional cost of compliance insurance that's available through NFIP, we got to a situation where it estimated looked like between $5,000 and $10,000 of an owner contribution, we could have afforded it. However, when we learned that we were only getting 50%, that changed it to a $25,000 to $30,000 owner contribution, which was out of our range. So there's a new grant available, and we're meeting next week with some county officials from Denrec, housing, and so forth to discuss the details of that and apply for it. However, you know, we fear that if we're still subject to only getting 50%, that we'll go down the same road, ultimately not be able to afford getting our housings elevated. So In summary, I'd like to ask, is there a procedure or technique that we can make an official appeal or official request for an exemption to that limitation? Because we need it, or we could face losing our homes.
Well, I just have my first question, I guess, is we changed this a couple of years ago from 75 to 50,
mm-hmm. right.
And Superstorm Sandy happened last year.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you get it would already changed at 50-50. Where'd you get the thing it was going to be 75-25?
That was the provision of the loan. Mm-hmm. And we were never advised. We had no idea that there were any other restrictions to that.
I think that was the maximum amount the counties. We had the option here at the county to adjust it, but I think the federal money, or whatever the program is, was you could do as much as 75%.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The feeling was, and I was part of that feeling and concern, that at 75% less people would benefit from this federal money, which is tax money.
Right.
Where if you had 50%, more people would benefit. So we could elevate more homes and have a greater impact on Sussex County on helping people. The problem is now if we start making exemptions, then it defeats the purpose, because everybody wants the easy money if they can get it, and I understand that. Like you said, even the people in multi-million dollar homes would be requesting it. So, I mean, without means testing, to find out, is there truly need there, I still would prefer benefiting a larger number of people that have been impacted by Sandy, because you're not the only ones, and there's only X amount of dollars. And at 50% more people benefit, as opposed to 75%, we'd cut out quite a few people. So I don't know if, unless you can make a case why you should be, exempted or something, and others shouldn't or whatever. That's what I don't understand.
I think I can make a case. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, yeah,
Mr. Moore, is where we are now? Is there his question is? Is there any appeal process?
Frankly, I don't know. I would have to look into it and then report back to council or to Mr. Lawson to see what appellate procedures are there for him that he or any of the other homeowners could avail themselves of.
Mm-hmm. We the council has the ability to set the threshold. That's the reason why it was amended to 50-50.
Right.
Obviously, we could amend it back.
Yeah.
We'll need to look to see what exercise that is required to do that. Is it a change of ordinance or not? If it's not a change of ordinance, then it could happen fairly quickly if council wants to do this. If it is an ordinance amendment, then obviously we go through the public hearing process to do it, again, if council wants us to do this. This particular case with Mallard Lakes is fairly complicated beyond just additional business. I'm well aware of what's going on. I've been involved from the beginning. I'm happy to meet with the constituents that are here right now to tell them where we are, but it's up to council whether or not to change the 50-50, and no matter what the exercise is, public hearing or not, because the philosophical reason of changing it back was exactly what Mr. Cole said.
Mm-hmm. But it's federal money we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
Real quickly, I want to try to answer Mr. Cole's question real quickly. On single-family homes, they're eligible for $30,000 per building of additional compliance, cost of a compliance insurance from NFIP. In our case, it's still $30,000 per building, but it's $5,000 per owner because we're six units to a building. If somebody could get 50% of the grant and also get $30,000, they'd be in pretty good shape. But the $5,000, the $30,000 doesn't go that far for us when you divide it among six buildings.
How many buildings in Mallard Lakes are affected? Because there's a lot in there, and they're all built pretty much the same. Are we just looking at one section today, or are we going to see another one pop up?
There's a specific number right now, 24 rings a bell to me, that we're specifically talking about that are not in compliance and would need to be raised. Now, I don't know if that's 24 individual units or 24 homes, and within that, there's more than one unit.
It's four buildings, six homes per building, 24 units.
Yeah. Okay.
Are they the cement slab ones?
No, they're on pilings.
They're on pilings?
Yes. Yeah.
And I would
we'll let Mr. Moore research what can and can't be. Yeah. That gives council time to consider if they do want to do anything, and then we can respond back at some future date.
Sir, if you wait around, I'll meet with you afterwards.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, council.
Yep.
Susan Rixom, you want to speak now, ma'am, or he spoke for you? Okay, just checking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I speak to my wife and I get in trouble, so I just...
Oh.
Paul Rigger.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good afternoon. Is what I'd like to discuss, and I apologize for going back to this. When you guys had Parish Peoples had taken off for the day that you missed a couple meetings ago with no agenda, I really would have liked that to been if you could have discussed some of the local ordinances a little bit as we discussed with my issues. The animal issues are pretty much in control now. We're in the right direction. The barbed wire, I still am strongly on that. What I was saying with alternate fences, there's a line now of electric wire up on the top, which is, I believe, is a lot safer, which I have for my horses, which should have been the first way to go anyway, because he couldn't keep the goats in the yard. And so we took that may be the answer to that. But I don't know what the different ordinances, like I always say, with the is and the is, what is the meaning of is. You go back and forth between a state issue. The state tells me one thing for not a boundary fence, and something else says something. Which ordinance is state, which ordinance is county. The tires, I started off on all my numbers from the pigs to everything else that we've been dealing with for the last 2 years. I've been conservative on the lower end with the tractor trailer tires and the ag tires in the back. When I had said 80, 90, when I did a legit count over the fence, I'm well in excess of 100. So I don't know whether now that comes under the state fire marshal code where I was concerned with the definition of a tire versus that. But if it becomes a state fire issue, does that get the county out of it, or does the county still enforce the main part of it?
It's a state fire issue. The state fire marshal would enforce it.
And you would enforce the other end. Well, they would go against the county thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And with all of this, and it seems like things are going in the right direction with not testing, but is there any way for, like, what you do your grants? Now, per se, with the tires and the expense with the unforeseen thing, do you have any way in any of the county landfills where if they were removed, they were taken there, that they could be, the county could waive the fee on them to make them miraculously
disappear? We no longer own any landfill. Well, any landfills that are being used. We own some landfills that are closed. What we'd have to do would be pay the tip fee, whatever it costs. If we were going to address it in that manner, we would have to pay what it costs to take the tires to where you dispose of them. So I think it's probably Wilmington or somewhere, wherever.
Which would be a really expensive proposition.
I don't know what it costs, but I know that's what we would go through, that process.
Is there some way that the county may know, like how the state does their recycling program? How they do that every year where they get their things, like in the articles you read, they did like 700-something thousand. Or 700 tons of tires.
I think you're allowed to go out to the state landfill and take like 10 tires at a time or something like that.
Small, yeah.
I mean, there's a number of tires you're allowed, anybody can take. So if a guy's got 100, after about 10 days, he'd probably get, you know, caught up. But
they're not.
I mean, that's what they do. So they don't want anybody big collector to bring them all at one time.
I just was trying to figure out if there's a way that somebody can say, look, the fees go away,
sure.
Get the tires to go.
Sure. We'd have to put a lien against properties if we start pulling out their tires and hauling them up into Wilmington. And if we put a lien against them, I wouldn't mind doing it that way. But for the county to start doing it, next thing you know, people just collect tires and figure the county come by and haul them off for them.
That's the devil's advocate.
State already collects $3. State collects $3.
I'm just trying to, with getting ready for the weather, we are going.
That's a valid point. I mean, certainly... certainly the state does collect, Mr. Wilson, correct, Denrec, there's a fee goes to Denrec for you old tires, you pay that when you get a new tire. But obviously, I guess that's all got to start with whoever owns the tires has got to want to get rid of them.
Yep.
I mean, that's, okay. Well, I think we're going to talk about tires at some point in time anyway. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Greer Firestone, please come on down, sir.
Greer Firestone, obviously, I came down from New Castle County today.
Oh.
3 years ago, 2 days after graduation from high school, my daughter had sudden cardiac arrest. no family history, and the fact that she had actually been the only person in her high school ever to graduate with 15 varsity letters. Why did this happen to an elite athlete? 10 days after being in Christiana Hospital, she left with a defib in her. The doctor said, no contact sport. She said, no, thank you. I'm going to live the life the way I want to live it. She's now the captain of her club soccer team at the U of D. But as a concerned father, how did this stuff happen? So 2 years ago, I went to Senators Cloutier and Bethany Hall Long to create a bill for sudden cardiac arrest symptoms and to train coaches and ADs and referees on the symptoms and also understanding sudden cardiac arrest. Last year, last session, the Grace Firestone resolution was passed, but with all due respect to my lovely sister, a resolution is like kissing your sister. So this year, we got together with the DIAA, the DSEA, the DHSS, and the school nurses to create the Grace Firestone Act, which will, in fact, develop and make publicly available a sudden cardiac arrest information sheet, includes information on the nature and warning signs of sudden cardiac arrest. It will make sure that each student athlete participating in practice will have to sign and have a guardian sign sudden cardiac arrest information that the DIAA will create. Each student athlete will complete a heart history questionnaire as part of the pre-participation physical, and all school coaches must have not only CPR but also AED use recognition so they understand what the process is as well. Senate Bill 205, tomorrow, in fact, in front of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee, we will be meeting. We already have 9 state senators and 11 reps involved in the process, so we think it's a fairly good slam dunk. On the other aspect, this is a financially neutral law, which is very good, too. On the other aspect, I created a foundation called Heart in the Game. What we do, and it's actually through the Delaware Community Foundation as well. I heard that wonderful organization earlier this morning. We've had 2 events so far in Newcastle County. We give free ECG screenings for every student ages 10 to 19 throughout the state. The mission is to go throughout the state. We've had 2 screenings, in fact, in Newcastle County. Additionally, because the Newcastle County EMS saved my daughter's life, they were there in 4 minutes, pedaled her 6 times, and literally saved her life. Her name was well known on DuPont Highway in Newcastle County in the EMS. So I went to Tom Gordon. I said, can we get the paramedics to do hands-on CPR and use of AED training? Yes, we did. The first event, we screened about 189 children from the Brandywine School District, although 15 schools were represented. It just so happened that one of the boys, a three-sport athlete at Brandywine High School, no family history at all, we have pediatric cardiologists on staff, they're volunteers. We went through 1 ECG. We won another one. Well, went to the doc, said to the parent, what's the boy doing now? He's wrestling now. He has to stop wrestling now, and you need to see a cardiologist next week. 2 weeks later, the boy had an ablation, a 9-hour operation at Nemours. Luckily for him and all of us, a month later, he was given stress tests, and now he is good to go and back on the playing field. So the second event was at Red Clay District. We had about 200 kids there as well. CPR, AED, and the ECG. We had 25 schools represented then. So what the entire mission of heartinthegame.org is to do is to go throughout the state. Our mission is to screen every child, and we can do it within 5 years.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
So I have submitted something through Vance. If I might just give maybe every one of you this. This was the handout that was given. We happened to be at a vendor table at the Delaware State Nurses Association meeting at Dover Downs this past weekend. And the nurses are our greatest supporters because they're the ones with the emails to the parents. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for your mission. Your mission. Mr. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. Now, most vehicles the county owns has GPS things on them to know exactly where the employees are. And then if they do something wrong, they get a phone call and they're told you can't do this and you got to kiss everybody's duck and everything in between. Now, I want to know why that just part of the employees had this and not every one of them. And particularly the higher-ups. I don't care what vehicle it is, every one of them needs to have a GPS in it so you can go and look, hey, guy speeds up 13 or 113 or goes south on 113. But then if one of the employees does it, oh, you better not do that because I'm going to slap your little fingers. So they all ought to be on it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Could I say a word after that?
Mrs. Deaver.
Last week I talked about houses that were in disrepair, and I had questions from some constituents about do we have any way to remove them if is there any money in the budget? And I'm not saying I want us to go out and take down abandoned houses, abandoned buildings of any kind. I want to make sure that it's understood that I'm not saying that. I just wanted to know what we have and is it, you know, is this something we should look at or not? I'm not personally espousing that we have a whole big department to do that. So I want to make that clear.
Thank you, ma'am. If we could, I lost my note. We need to have a motion to revert back to grant requests. I made a mistake and forgot something I was asked
to do. You want a motion?
Yes.
To go to grant requests? I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Ms. Deaver, to revert back to grant requests.
Yeah, we'll go back to grant requests.
We dealt with a request from the
Alzheimer's
Research Golf Tournament.
And you forgot something?
Mr. Phillips had asked. Oh. He couldn't be here. He's sick. He wanted to put $500 from his account into that. So we could amend the motion to add $500 to Mr. Phillips' account to that request.
Wouldn't it be easier just make a new motion?
Okay, we'll take a new motion.
Add $500.
A new motion, Mrs. Deaver, second,
yes.
Mr. Cole,
I'll make that.
To add $500 to Mr. Phillips' account to the National Active and Retired Federal Employees to help sponsor an annual golf tournament for Alzheimer's Research.
So moved.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now a motion to revert back to regular agenda.
And what's next? Adjourn?
We'll see. Motion to revert back to next agenda item, which will be a luncheon with the Sussex County Firefighter Association at 12 o'clock.
Then we adjourn.
We'll adjourn over there, correct?
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Warren.
Okay.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Question on the motion. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole, Mr. Wilson.
Motion.
I vote yes, the motion to go back to regular business, which is now going to be
okay.
The luncheon
sure.
At 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Right.
We're going to be in recess, I guess, between now and 12 o'clock, and we're all going to convene with the Firefighter Association at the Brick Hotel, the council is.
When is it proper to bring up about the ruling that came down yesterday about the prayer?
That's what I was going to ask.
I don't know if there, Mr. Moore, I'll revert to you, sir, Mr. Wilson's question.
Okay. Was there a vote on the motion that was just made?
Yeah, we're back at regular business now.
Okay.
Which is still under, I guess, we're
other
still
business.
Under additional business, yeah.
Additional business.
Here's the way to put it, I think, Sam, is could you give us some impact, tell us the impact of that ruling that yesterday Mr. Wilson's referring to, because I'm sure we can't talk about it right now,
okay.
About how it affects our ruling, and because people have asked me about the same thing, and I'm not 100% sure what to tell them.
Okay.
So, I think, Sam, is that what you're concerned about, how it will affect us? And then
I'll just give you briefly. It is something that would be proper to place on the agenda for a future meeting to discuss in detail.
Okay.
But just in just a brief summary and similar to the statements I've made to the press. Number one, the Supreme Court did say that it is okay to open legislative meetings, governmental meetings, with prayer. However, we have to remember that we are under a consent order with the court now, and there are certain parameters with that consent order that we need to look at in more detail to find out what we can do and when. And I would suggest that this be placed on agenda for a future meeting so that we can give a briefing to the council as to what the impact is and how it relates to our consent order.
Yeah, that'd be fine, right, Sam? Is that okay? That's what I'm thinking.
I'm under the impression that the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. That's the last ruling. If they, whatever they say, is what we go by. So that means anything under that is baloney. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, we'll find out
what everybody thinks. Feel we either need to find this out right away, what is why we can't go on and act on a Supreme Court, what they ruled for us to do. And forget these lower courts. That's my feeling.
We'll see if we're allowed to do that.
Mr. Moore, if you would, what I would ask is if you would research this as soon as you can.
Yes.
And as soon as you have the research done and the answers to questions, contact Mr. Lawson and put it on the very next agenda.
I will.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Anything else from council?
Big motion, we recess to
recess until 12 o'clock at the Brick Hotel. May I entertain a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Yes.
Got 10 minutes to walk across the